Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to The Savage Nation. It's an amazing day in history because today your president on NPR, which, as you know, is an arm of the Obama administration. It's not an independent. It has nothing to do with America, nothing to do with nationalism, nothing to do with the wishes of the American people. NPR is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democrat Party. It always has been. He goes on NPR the same way he would go in front of a kindergarten or in front of Al Sharpton's friends, and he admits that the Iran nuclear deal will permit Iran to develop nuclear weapons, and the next president or presidents down the line will have to deal with it. It's one of the most astonishing turnarounds ever seen. If you watch the interview on Fox News, what you see is a man who looks like a scared child who got caught lying and almost admits in a secret meeting with a friend that, yeah, they're going to get nukes, but it's going to be someone else's problem. You're not going to believe what you're about to hear. That's topic number one. Topic number two, and this is one of the biggest stories. I don't know how it's been missed by the conservative media. It's astonishing. Are you ready for this? Headline: Lawrence Tribe fights climate case against star pupil from Harvard, President Obama. Now, who is Lawrence Tribe? He is probably the most highly respected liberal scholar of constitutional law. Obama was once his student at Harvard. He has taken a job representing the nation's largest coal company, Peabody Energy, to fight the EPA. Mr. Tribe, Obama's former law professor at Harvard, the top liberal scholar of constitutional law in America, who still speaks of Obama as a proud teacher would of a star student, are you listening to me? Took a position representing the nation's largest coal company against Obama's climate control madness. The reason he did this, the face reason he did it, is very interesting. He said that they violated the Constitution, that Obama went overboard with his EPA. And he said it has nothing to do with anything except the Constitution. It has nothing to do with climate change. He said the EPA went over its abilities, went beyond the Constitution, and he took this job to make certain that the Constitution is protected. Now, that's the cover story. Lawrence Tribe fights climate case against star pupil from Harvard, President Obama. But that's not the real reason. Michael Savage will tell you the real reason, at least his interpretation. It's something nobody else in the media has thought of yet, and no one else in the media could think of yet. I don't care if they have 500 research assistants. I don't care if they dine with the head of Fox News every night of the week. Nobody can outthink me in the media. I'm going to tell you why Lawrence Tribe took the position that he did, fighting Obama's climate case by representing Peabody Energy, the nation's largest coal company. And you're not going to believe this insight that I have. That's number two. But there's more. There's much more. Again today at a prayer breakfast with Al Sharpton and friends, here's a man who stirred up the races against each other. Here is a man who set off a war in the streets of America in Ferguson and elsewhere. Here is a man who should be in prison for inciting a riot by crossing state lines. Instead, once again, he was invited to the White House. And at this so-called prayer breakfast, Obama heckled Christians in front of largely black attendees, and they laughed. Also today in the Savage Nation, I'm going to read you a little bit of the history of Adolf Hitler's Night of the Long Knives. And you're not going to understand why I'm going to read about the Night of the Long Knives when the entire homosexual leadership of the SA was killed by the SS, why Hitler did it, how he justified doing it, and what it has to do with a power grab. Yes, all that and more, but I'm not through yet. If that's not enough of the smorgasbord of the Savage Nation, I will also read short selections from my new novel, not yet published, called Countdown to Mecca. I introduced it on the show yesterday. I've been overwhelmed by people begging me to keep reading from the book. They want passages read here and there. I'll spend a few minutes reading from Countdown to Mecca. But what's astonishing to me is that I wrote this book over a year ago. And when I wrote it a year ago, I had to project what I thought might be happening today. The book will be out in a month. And what it's about is Iran getting a nuclear weapon. And about a plot concocted by major American generals to do with Mecca. Did you know about the plot? Did you know about that? It's a plotted terrorist attack by U.S. generals to blow up Mecca during the Hajj. But that's not what the book is about. The book is about stopping that plot to blow up Mecca. But it's not even to blow up Mecca. I don't want to give away the key plot line. There's no nukes involved. Page 86 of this novel, which I think is prescient, and I'll remind you again, if you have already read A Time for War, and if you've read, I forget the name, Abuse of Power and A Time for War, you're going to love this book, Countdown to Mecca. Let me read you a paragraph, page 86. Are you ready? Jack is talking to a group of people, including the generals, and they don't like Jack. Jack pressed on quickly, fearing he might get muscled away by the guards around the generals. Once Iran has a nuclear weapon, he said, it will be used, whether by them or by other Middle Eastern countries who feel that they need the bomb as well, because the Sunnis are not going to allow the Shia to have one. Am I right? General Brooks nodded noncommittally. You really? There's no evidence that Saudi Arabia or any other country in the Middle East outside of Iran is interested in a weapon. And I go on with it. I'll read more from Countdown to Mecca, which you can look at pieces of on michaelsavage.com. But I want to go back to the main story, which is related to all of this in some way. Today, in an astonishing admission, Obama goes on NPR and he admits his deal will allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons. But he said, I really don't care because a future president will have to take action. Where is the clip on the future president? That's the one I want to hear right now. Not number one, but the future president one. Let's hear clip number two on the Savage Nation.
In years 13, 14, it is possible that those breakout times would have been much shorter. But at that point, we have much better ideas about what it is that their program involves. We have much more insight into their capabilities and the option of a future president to take action if, in fact, they try to obtain a nuclear weapon, is undiminished.
Have you ever heard anything like this in your entire life? That a so-called president would say, well, you know what, they're going to develop the weapon, but some future president will have to deal with it. Have you ever heard of anyone as incompetent as this in your life in the president's office? Do you know that this one statement alone would have led to impeachment if we lived in a rational government? If we lived in a rational society with a legitimate government, do you have any idea what a rational media would do with this statement? It's what I'm going to do with it today on the Savage Nation. So I'm trying to balance all of these elements. Obama's astonishing stumble today, an admission that he's giving Iran the green light to develop a nuclear weapon, but it's not his problem. It'll be someone else's problem. The weird case of Lawrence Tribe, the number one liberal constitutional lawyer in America, who, by the way, was Obama's professor at Harvard, but he was also the professor of two others on the Supreme Court. Did you know that? Lawrence Tree was also the professor who taught two other Supreme Court justices, two liberals who were planted there on the court. And yet, astonishingly, we read in the New York Times yesterday that this highly respected liberal scholar of constitutional law who taught President Obama and still respects him took the job to represent Peabody Energy, the nation's largest coal company, in its legal quest to block an EPA regulation that would cut carbon dioxide emissions from the nation's coal-fired power plants. That's the heart of Obama's maddening climate change agenda. Now, I'm going to tell you what Tribe said he did and why, and then I'm going to tell you why I think he really did it. I'm going to also, again, refer to the prayer breakfast and his insulting of Christians, and then I'm going to tie it all into my fiction that will be out in a month called Countdown to Mecca. If that's not enough for you, there's nothing more I can offer you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
It's a hard argument to make that we're better off right now having almost no breakout period, no insight, and letting them rush towards a bomb than saying, over the course of 15 years, we have very clear assurances that they're not going to do anything. And at that at the end of that period, maybe they've changed, maybe they haven't. If they haven't changed, we still have the options available to me or available to a future president that I have available to me right now.
Here's our problem. We have a very glib liar in the White House with a great voice. We're better off with a bumbler who stumbled on his words because we could mock the president then. And it's good to mock a president. They need to be mocked to control their insanity. Any man who wants to be president is by definition insane. Any man who becomes president is even more clearly insane. So anyone who arrives at this office is an egomaniac to begin with, possibly psychotic, and very dangerous, which is why we have a separation of powers and all sorts of advice and consent and this and that. But with Obama, because he is so glib and has such a great voice, even though he's lying and making statements that are outrageously impossible to believe he would make, such as he just did, most people let it go right over their head. But it didn't go over the head of Lawrence Tribe, who was his professor at Harvard, who, I must tell you again, is one of the most admired liberal scholars of constitutional law in America. Liberal is the key word. Very liberal is even more accurate. But very highly regarded, taught Obama. I think he taught Kagan at Harvard as well. I'll find it in a minute. Now he takes his position representing the biggest coal company in America in his legal quest to block the EPA, which is trying to knock out coal in America in plain English. And Tribe says he did this because, I'm going to read it now, at a House hearing last month, Mr. Tribe likened the climate change policies of Mr. Obama to, quote, burning the Constitution. I swear to God. And, you know, I respect a real liberal. A real liberal like Tribe is to be respected because he's representing the Constitution that we all know will save us from a madman like Obama. I think we have that soundbite, don't we, Jim? If we have Lawrence Tribe, which Doug got last night, clip number six, you've got to listen to this one.
EPA is attempting an unconstitutional trifecta, usurping the prerogatives of the states, Congress, and the federal courts all at once. Much is up for grabs in this complex area, but burning the Constitution of the United States, about which I care deeply, cannot be part of our national energy policy to deal with the problems of climate change.
See, a principled liberal not only is to be respected because you can reason with them if they're as wed to the Constitution as he is, but Obama is not a principled anything. He's a Machiavellian, egomaniac, power-grabbing nut, and his own professor knows it. So he doesn't want Obama to burn the Constitution by usurping the Constitution. Now, this ties into what I'm trying to tell you about, and that is the story of Adolf Hitler and his power grabs in Germany. Not directly related, but somewhat related and worth talking about. And I'm going to talk about this most corrupt administration in modern American history. Corrupt in ways you can't even imagine, but nevertheless corrupt. And the fact of the matter is that Lawrence Tribe is concerned about a dictatorship emerging in the United States of America. And so he decided to represent the coal company against the EPA. Big story. But here's the backstory that nobody but Michael Savage would dare say. They asked him why he would do a thing like this. The liberal establishment has gone crazy. He is an iconic left-leaning law professor who is being attacked left and right. They're calling him a traitor. ripping him to shreds. All of these zealots in the EPA and idiots who are 50 times stupider than you can imagine. Here's one, for example, a zealot, Jody Freeman, director of the so-called environmental law program at Harvard Law, says, quote, "The administration's climate rule is far from perfect, but sweeping assertions of unconstitutionality are baseless. She is a Lilliputian compared to Tribe in terms of the Constitution." They're tearing him to shreds. And others who are not even able to shine his shoes are saying, quote, "Tribe's legal claims are ridiculous." And listen to what he said. He dismissed the criticism and said that his brief and comments reflect his views as a constitutional scholar, not as a paid advocate for the coal company. He said, "I'm not for sale. I'll say what I believe. I feel very comfortable with my relationship with Peabody Coal." He said, "Somebody wanted my help and it happened to coincide with what I believe." But a number of miniature legal scholars and current and former members of the Obama administration say that Tribe has eroded his credibility by using his platform as a scholar to promote a corporate agenda, specifically the mining and burning of coal, which is what he's not doing. What he's doing is trying to stop a power grab by this madman in the White House. Wherever you turn, Obama has overextended his reach. And that's an important thing for you to understand. The power grab, the power grab, the power grab. Now, admittedly, this is not a sexy story, and it's hard to follow in a certain way, but it really isn't that hard to follow. We have a man who will grab as much power as he is permitted to grab, and we have a principled liberal who stood up to him and took the coal company's position against the EPA. What is my contention about this? Why do I think Lawrence Tribe risked his entire credibility with the vicious left-leaning academic and media establishment? There's another reason. And unfortunately, that clock tells me that I have only 23 seconds to tell you why I think he did it. Yes, he wants Obama stopped, but for a reason you can't imagine. And I'll tell you my suspicion in just a few short minutes, if you'll hang on right here on The Savage Nation. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Constitutional trifecta, usurping the prerogatives of the states, Congress, and the federal courts all at once. Much is up for grabs in this complex area, but burning the Constitution of the United States, about which I care deeply, cannot be part of our national energy policy to deal with the problems of climate change.
I hope you're following what I'm saying. I hope it's not too obscure for the average listener. This is one of the most astonishing turnabouts in our lifetime. Remember who you're listening to. Lawrence Tribe, 73 years old, Harvard constitutional law professor of the highest regard, Obama's former professor. Obama was once one of his students, and he still speaks of him highly. He said he was one of the most amazing research assistants I've ever had. That's quite a statement, research assistants. You know what that really means, don't you? But we won't go into that. Why is he doing it? Well, on the face of it, it's because he's a principled liberal who respects the Constitution. He says, "I'm not for sale, and I don't like the overreach of the EPA." So he's being ripped apart by the petty, small left-wing fanatics in America. My opinion, which you've been waiting for, I want to take you back a few years. Do you remember the names being offered, bandied about as to who would be put on the Supreme Court? Well, there was no name higher than Lawrence Tribe. Everyone was sure that Obama, his former student, would pick him. Not only because he was his former student, but former professor, but because the man had such distinguished liberal credentials. And now you know why Obama did not pick Lawrence Tribe. Because he was too principled a liberal who believed in the Constitution. So instead, Obama picked third-rate intellectuals, if you want to even dignify them with that definition. Elena Kagan, who in my day would have been selling locks on Rivington Street. And of course, the most brilliant Latina the world has ever seen, Sotomayor, another genius. That's who Obama picked because they're malleable liberals, probably without any concept of what the Constitution really requires. And so Lawrence Tribe did this, taking the coal company on as a client to spite Obama, to get even with him. That's my opinion. I'm not going to ask you what you think of it. It's just my opinion. And now on that note, what I want to do is talk about a dictatorship of the past, which has almost nothing to do with the dictatorship of the present. But there's some overlapping elements that bother me. There's a long story about the Night of the Long Knives, when the 4 million brown-shirted Nazi stormtroopers, the SA, were threatening Adolf Hitler. They had been with him from the beginning. They were the street thugs. They were the equivalent of the street gangs that Al Sharpton was riling up in Ferguson and elsewhere. Not exactly as well organized, nor as armed, nor uniformed, but just the way Al Sharpton and Obama and Holder stirred up the street thugs in Ferguson to attack the police and burn businesses down, Hitler had the 4 million brown shirts behind him to intimidate the population. Not exactly the same, but there's a similar element to it. And the leader of the SA was a man named Ernst Röhm, a battle-scarred, aggressive, highly ambitious street brawler who happened to be a homosexual, as were most of the leaders of the SA. And Hitler overlooked their homosexual orientation. It wasn't an issue to him because they were very useful to him prior to the purge. They were openly homosexual. They were macho homosexuals. And prior to the purge, where most of them were killed by Hitler, the SS, they ignored this behavior because they were useful to him. And once their usefulness came to an end, their homosexual conduct would be partly used as an excuse for the murders. And so there was a prearranged plan called Hummingbird. And Hitler set off the signal for Hummingbird, which unleashed a wave of murderous violence in Berlin and over 20 other cities. SS execution squads, along with Göring's private police force, roared through the streets of Germany, hunting down SA leaders and anyone on the prepared list of political enemies, known as the Reich List of Unwanted Persons. And they killed all of his political enemies, all of them. They killed people by accident. They didn't care. People don't know this, but they even killed the leaders of the nationalist movement in Germany. Many of you assume Hitler was a nationalist, but you're mistaken. He was a socialist. That's what Nazi references. They killed the head of the nationalist movement in Germany at the same time. But that's a side point. I'm getting distracted. So why did Hitler take this upon himself? Well, he was threatened by them, so he thought. But I want you to listen to what Hitler said after he killed all of these former colleagues of his. On July 13th of that year, after killing 250 to 1,000 men who had been his allies, he gave a long speech before the Nazi-controlled Reichstag, in which he announced the murders, and he justified the murders. And listen what he said. It's chilling. If anyone reproaches me and asks why I did not resort to the regular courts of justice, then all I can say is this. In this hour, I was responsible for the fate of the German people, and thereby I became the supreme judge of the German people. Did you hear what I just said? He declared himself the supreme judge of the German people. In effect, placing himself above the law. In effect, making his word the law. And in so doing, instilling a permanent sense of fear in all of the German people. At the same time that he knocked out the SA, he took over the German army. He had not controlled the army until then. And once he got control of the German army through these murders, they went on his long journey that led them almost to world conquest, but eventually to the hanging docks at Nuremberg after the war. And that's how he got control of the army, by knocking off the SA and declaring he was the supreme judge of the German people. So what does that have to do with a mad president in the United States in the year 2015, who wants to take control of every aspect of your life, justifying spying on Americans, saying it's necessary for security, imposing a health care plan on us that will bankrupt the nation to an extent you could never imagine, flooding America with third worlders who are illiterate in their own language, many of them diseased and infected with diseases that were annihilated here in America. Why is he doing this? Because he's a madman, and he's a power madman on top of it all. And so that's the danger we are in. There's no direct answer to the question other than to tell you that history repeats itself in small ways sometimes, not only in big ways. But unlike Hitler, who killed his way to controlling the German army, Obama has done it in a different way. He hasn't killed the generals who might have opposed his policies. He has just smeared them and purged them. And right now we have a control of the U.S. military that I've never seen in my lifetime by a president. Yes, he may be commander-in-chief, as are all presidents. But I've never seen a military so in the pocket of a president in my lifetime. Have you? Have you ever seen a military so terrified of a president? No, you haven't. So there are dangerous rumblings and dangerous parallels here. And again, you're listening to The Savage Nation. It's a little different in tone, I admit, today on two different topics. It's just the way it is today. And I want to now go to my new novel called Countdown to Mecca, which you can peruse on michaelsavage.com or look it up on amazon.com, and you can order it in advance. Because there are elements of this novel that are prescient. I wrote it a year ago, and as I say, it's called Countdown to Mecca for a reason. And it's a plot that is, it's a plot created by a group of American Army generals. But these are of the highest level of the Army generals. I didn't pick guys who had no education. I painted them as generals who went to the best of our military academies, West Point, Naval Academy, VMI. They came from military families, and they loved America very deeply. And they saw the threat that Islam was posing to the world. And they decide on a plot called Firebird to stop it while they still have the power. And so the generals meet at a shooting range, and they talk to each other. "You ordered us here," General Morton said. "We're here. What's this about?" "What is this about?" Brooks said softly, ominously. "Firebird is fine if that's what concerns you. I will," and then says, "well, what is it all about?" Quote, "I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve," Brooks quoted as if Morton hadn't spoken. "Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them." "Who said that?" The general looked into the face of each of the other men. Reynolds seemed to look back at him, but in fact his gaze wavered between the general's eyebrows and eyelashes. General Bullseye looked around like a soldier on point. Only Morton stared back defiantly, his lips tight. "The Quran, sir," Morton replied sharply. "Verse 8:12, just one of the more than 100 verses that call Muslims to war with what they call non-believers." "And who do they call non-believers?" General Brooks asked. "Anyone who isn't Muslim," Reynolds interrupted. "Quran 5:51 states that Muslims are not to take Jews and the Christians for friends. Allah describes them as unjust people." "The Quran invokes 'kill the infidel' 120 times," General Brooks said quietly, almost to himself. He gazed at the empty sky. "What kind of sane nation permits these people to practice such open hatred?" "Sir," Morton said, "I thought we were here to discuss Firebird." General Thomas Brooks, U.S. Strategic Command, lowered his Remington shotgun and fired a warning blast of scattershot at Reynolds' foot. Reynolds' shins caught a few ricocheting pellets. Morton and Bull's eyes stiffened. Reynolds fell to one knee, but by sheer force of will, he did not scream. After a moment, as the shock fled and pain struck, he hissed, then grit his teeth, then slammed both fists into the ground. Brooks didn't even look at him. Instead, he locked eyes with Morton. "We are planning to detonate a weapon, a super weapon, in Mecca. And you spend weeks screwing around with whores?" Thoughts shot through Morton's head like spears. "That was my fault, not..." "How do you know I'm finished?" General Brooks seethed. And that's part of the story. And so people ask me, well, what does this have to do with Iran and the weapon? Well, it has a lot to do with all of it. And for those of you who are fans of Jack Hatfield's character, who appeared in Abuse of Power in A Time for War, this is a little different. There are so many characters in it that I invented that I had to give you a list of characters in the beginning of the book, as was done in novels in the 19th century in Russia. Michael Savage, Countdown to Mecca. So there's Jack Hatfield, freelance journalist, defrocked former host of the cable TV program Truth Tellers, Doc Mattson, former soldier, trusted ally of Jack. He's actually based on a friend of mine. Dover Griffith, one-time Department of Naval Intelligence analyst, now FBI agent and Jack's younger lover. Sammy Michaels, Jack's younger half-brother, former Marine, now a professional clown. And one of my most interesting characters who I invented is Saul Minsky, San Francisco-based Jewish gangster, who actually becomes Jack's ally to protect him from the CIA and the government, who's going to try and stop him because they don't know what Jack's trying to do here. And then there's Thomas Brooks, a three-star general. And then there are others. There's Anastasia Vincent, a Russian-born escort. There's Ritu, an Indian-born escort. There's Miwa, a Japanese-born escort. There's Helmut Schoenberg, a CEO of a German multinational. And one of the funniest characters is Bernie Peters, an eccentric physicist based in San Francisco, loosely based upon a guy I know. So it's fiction, loosely based upon photographs and movies and imaginings and this and that, all put together in a novel called Countdown to Mecca, in a plot twist that I'm sure you've never seen in literature before. It's unique. It's not derivative. It's Michael Savage at his best. And for those fans of Jack Hatfield, I recommend you check a copy out. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
I want to return to this point. We want Iran not to have nuclear weapons precisely because we can't bank on the nature of the regime changing. That's exactly why we don't want to have nuclear weapons. If suddenly Iran transformed itself into Germany or Sweden or France, then there would be a different set of conversations about their nuclear infrastructure.
You know, I range every day when I think about this man's madness. Sometimes I think he's actually a power-mad dictator. And when I listen to this speech that he gave today to an NPR, I think he's just another pie-in-the-sky, daffy, academic lunatic who doesn't know the real world. You say, oh, come on, how can he say that? He knows the real world well enough to have become president. That's true. So then I go back to the fact of point number one, which I really don't want to believe. The man sounds like a typical academic nut. He's talking about Iran as though it exists in a vacuum, as though it has no background, that we know nothing about the mullahs. We don't know that they're bloodthirsty murderers who've killed our own troops. So let me take some calls. WMAL, line number 5. Bruce, go ahead. We have about a minute. Fire away.
Good day, Dr. Savage. Bruce over here, WMAL.
I know. I said your name in the station. What do you want to say?
Purim, you spoke about it. What happened with April 1st was the 13th of Nisan when President King Obama announced the fact that peace treaty went into effect. Almost 4,000 years ago, the king of Assyria announced the same thing to destroy all the Jews. You shared how Netanyahu came over to before Purim to warn us. Well, King Obama changed the date from the 24th of March to the 31st of March.
All right, here we go with dates again. I really don't understand it. So you're comparing Obama to King Haman, is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I did that last week. That's all. Yes, history repeats itself. And there was a song called Sympathy for the Devil. And it begins with, I was around a long time ago. In fact, that's a good song to open the next hour with. He was around a long time ago.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
On Easter, I do reflect on the fact that as a Christian, I am supposed to love. And I have to say that sometimes when I listen to less than loving expressions by Christians, I get concerned. But that's a topic for another day.
He keeps reappearing time after time after time. Today, our president, no relationship to the narrative that I just expressed, admitted his Iran deal gives Iran the ability and a clear path for nuclear weapons, but it's not his problem. He kicked it down the road to a president downstream. I talked about Lawrence Tribe, liberal scholar, Harvard lawyer, who's taken a position against Obama's EPA by taking on a client, which is the largest coal company in America. We played Obama attacking Christians at a so-called prayer breakfast this morning. You know it wasn't a prayer breakfast when Al Sharpton was there. It can't be, by definition, a prayer breakfast if Al Sharpton is there. It's something else. And then I talked about Hitler's Night of the Long Knives, where all the SA was killed. I read selections from my new novel, Countdown to Mecca, tied to the Iran deal. And here we are going into hour number two of the Savage Nation. And I want to open it up to unprotected talk. I don't know what you want to talk about, but I can tell you right now that maybe the topics that I introduced were too heady. Maybe they were too intellectual. Maybe the story about Lawrence Tribe went over your head. Maybe you didn't like the fact that I said he was a principled liberal. Maybe your mind is so warped by what you hear on radio that you think all conservative, all people who say they're conservatives are good and all people who say they're liberals are bad. But that's not the way the world works. A bird needs two wings to fly. Right now we have two left wings flying the nation. And that's a very important story, but I don't think the average listener to radio got it. Nor any more than you understood that Obama admitted that Iran will get a nuclear weapon. He put them on a clear path for a nuclear weapon, but he said he doesn't care. Big story, but you didn't care. My reference to the Night of the Long Knives and how that relates to dictatorships, and what it might mean with regard to a madman in the White House now or in the future. I don't think you got that either, frankly. I really don't get it. I'm amazed at radio, what people respond to. If I were to do something simplistic, two-dimensional, and ask you to call on it, I mean, I could pack the lines out, but I didn't want to do that. I thought these were good stories, but apparently, I'll tell you right now, I don't think it went over very well. So what we're going to do is go to open mic, and we're going to begin with my phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-407-282. And I want to go now to my website, my little website that can, michaelsavage.com, home of borders, language, and culture, and show you some of the stories I picked to put up there. Top right, Michael Savage newsletter. Why is Obama bringing 100,000 Muslims a month into America? Many of them hold up banners that say, no democracy, we just want Islam. Why is he bringing them in? Next story. Linked up from Gateway Pundit, Obama White House smeared Bergdahl's platoon mates when it knew they were telling the truth. Because they're vicious punk liars. They're vicious drug addicts, in my opinion, who have never held a real job in their life. They were put there by their parents' contributions to this corrupt administration. And many of these children who work for Obama are liars through and through. They lied from the cradle until now. Fourth Muslim charged in New York City over ISIS recruitment plot. Another Muslim, another plot to blow up America. Surprised it wasn't a Catholic nun. You would have thought by the media that it would have been Christians. It would be constantly recruiting to overthrow America. But it's kind of shocking to see it's always Muslims. And then one of the worst people in the history of America, a man who should be in prison for what he's done, in my opinion, Al Sharpton, again was at the White House at a so-called prayer breakfast, looking skinnier than ever. Let's hope that the good reverend recovers from whatever it is he may be suffering from, or the diet he is on is called back in time. But the fact of the matter is, no one knows where he ever got his divinity degree from. I've challenged people on this show to produce it. I think he got it in a Cracker Jack box in Brooklyn. And how they refer to a man like him as reverend is beyond me. What makes this rabble-rouser a reverend I'll never understand? Liberal environmentalists blame for California water crisis. You can also blame the pot epidemic for the water crisis. The pot growers are sucking every drop of water out of the aquifer. Guess who backs the nuclear deal with Iran? The Iran Revolutionary Guard chief backs Obama's nuclear deal. Could you hear this? He commended negotiators for beating America. Demand for more mosques in France provokes anger, but not here. Not in the good old stupid U.S. of A. You see, Muslim leaders in France want to double the number of mosques to increase their flocks so that there's no longer a France. It's just an extension of the caliphate coming out of Saudi Arabia. And the French have said enough is enough. You're not building any more mosques. Anyway, you get the picture. Let's see. Here's another one to enlighten your day. Feds give disability benefits to Puerto Ricans because they speak Spanish. I'm not inventing this. Read it in michaelsavage.com, link to Washington Free Beacon. The federal government is giving out disability benefits to Puerto Ricans because they speak Spanish and can't speak English. They're considered disabled. I swear to God. So maybe this is what Obama has in mind for the unwashed masses he's bringing in from south of the border. He can declare them all disabled and put them on disability and make sure that your grandfather who served, let's say, in Vietnam or Korea, if he's still living, gets as little as possible while the non-citizens get everything possible. Who knows? When you have a man who has a demonic desire to remake America, not in an image that would make it stronger but much weaker, anything is possible, especially when the snowball has grown to this size. That opens up a line to 855-400-7282. Let's begin on WJR. Line number two, go ahead, please. State your name and your topic.
I just had a question. What do you think is more important to President Obama, our relationship with Israel or this deal with Iran?
Well, I got to repeat myself and go on record. I don't believe Israel's the relationship with Israel should trump our relationship with the rest of the world. I'm going to be very clear. I've said this for years. I don't want the tail wagging the dog. I've said this over and over again. Yes, Israel deserves to survive, but not at the risk of this nation not surviving. Am I clear on that?
Does Israel have a right to receive from Iran a statement from them that they have the right to exist or not?
Of course they do. And any legitimate president would have demanded that in any negotiation. But I believe you know what Obama said, that they have no right to demand that. In fact, that's clip four. Jim, play clip four. We have that one. I want you to listen to this.
I want to return to this point. We want Iran not to have nuclear weapons precisely because we can't bank on the nature of the regime changing. That's exactly why we don't want
to have nuclear weapons. That's not the clip I wanted. I said clip four.
Suddenly, Iran transformed the
notion that we would... Stop it. It's the wrong clip. Stop. 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 Stop the whole thing. I want clip four where he said it's a misjudgment to make the nuke deal contingent on Iran recognizing Israel. Play clip four.
The notion that we would condition Iran not getting nuclear weapons in a verifiable deal on Iran recognizing Israel is really akin to saying that we won't sign a deal unless the nature of the Iranian regime completely transforms. And that is, I think, a fundamental misjudgment.
Did you hear what this man just said? Can you understand that this is a deranged statement from a madman? Did you hear what he just said? It's a deranged statement. No, he said, we'll sign a deal, even if they say Israel shouldn't exist. So does that answer your question? All right, thanks for the call. Well, the answer to the question is not us. The answer is for Israel to roll up its sleeves and take out the nuclear facilities on its own. That's all. What do you want from me? If Israel's not willing to stand up and defend itself, why should we be agonizing over this anymore? Frankly, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing about Israel. Day and night, Israel, 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 Israel. I'm sick of it myself. It's enough already. Obama is overrunning America's borders with illegal aliens who will fundamentally destroy America forever. I could care less about Israel right now. As much as I would like to see Israel take the bull by the horns and organize a campaign along with Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and any of its new allies, and take out Iran's nuclear facilities now. I am sick and tired of hearing about Israel. I don't want to hear the tail wagging the dog. It's that simple. We have a nation that's in crisis. We have a nation that's imploding under a madman who's raging out of control. And he must be stopped. He must not be permitted to crap on the Constitution and flood America with illegals. I don't care how much he wants to transform America. He does not have the authority to do it any more than he has the authority to do a deal with Iran on his own without Congress. He is a raging madman who's out of control. That's my point. And I made my point. And I'll take your calls the minute I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
The notion that we would condition Iran not getting nuclear weapons in a verifiable deal on Iran recognizing Israel is really akin to saying that we won't sign a deal unless the nature of the Iranian regime completely transforms. And that is, I think, a fundamental misjudgment.
Do you have any idea what he just said? Let's turn the clock back and let's make it 1930s. And we have a president who says, the notion that we would condition Germany on not invading another nation in a verifiable deal with Germany is really akin to saying that we won't sign a deal unless the nature of the Nazi regime completely transforms. And that is, I think, a fundamental misjudgment. In other words, it would be accepting the Nazi regime for what it is, an expansionist, racist regime. And we'll do a deal with them because, well, that's who they are. And if we have to do a deal with a racist, expansionist regime under Adolf Hitler, we have the supreme leader now, and they had the chancellor, Hitler, Herr Hitler. And we couldn't demand that Hitler stop invading countries. We just wanted to do a deal to look good in order to go on NPR, in order to go on ABC this week, in order to maybe get another Nobel Prize for saving the world from another war. We can't demand that Germany change. We must let Germany be Germany. Now, perhaps in 10, 15 years after they've devoured millions of people and gobbled up most of Europe, Germany may not be Germany anymore, and the Nazi regime may be a nice regime. But that's not my problem, man. I got a lot of vacation time left. I got a lot of golfing to do. I got a lot of folks to see and press hands with, so I can't be bothered with Israel and changing the nature of the regime in Iran. No, I'm just too important for that. I'm so high above it all. I'm so in the clouds. I'm such a great intellectual genius. I look at myself in the mirror and I wonder how I can stand it. Every day I look and I say, God, how did you make me, Barack, so wonderful? How did you make me, Barack, so much like the supreme leader of Iran? Which is why I refer to him as the supreme leader. No president in history would have referred to Hitler as chancellor. They would have referred to him as the dictator of Germany. He should have referred to the supreme leader as the dictator of Iran, who was very much akin to Adolf Hitler. Instead, he calls him the supreme leader because, well, let's put it to you this way, birds of a feather and all that. He feels comfortable around supreme leaders. After all, in Iran, they're not... let's say, messed up with a press that occasionally criticizes them. There's no radio in Iran with people to raise any questions. There's no opposition party in Iran. It's just a bunch of folks who have rags on their heads, who quote a book written, well over 1,000 years ago as though it's the Holy Gospel. And then they run the country according to that book. They cut people's hands off. They stone women to death. They throw homosexuals off the roof. But hey, we don't want them to fundamentally change. That would be asking too much. We can't do that. No, we'll give them what they want, which is a road to nukes. So that is why I'm telling you I'm at my wit's end trying to deal with this situation. So sometimes I shift formats. and I go from nonfiction to fiction. And many of you love my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. And now you have another option, which is an exciting thriller, a good read, with Jack Hatfield as the character, entitled Countdown to Mecca. And it was just on time. I wrote it a year ago, but it's all about Iran getting a nuclear weapon and what these generals plot in order to stop them from getting a nuclear weapon. And I can't tell you that their idea is so crazy, because it would set off a world war, which is what they want. See, the generals think that by setting off a war with the Muslim world, dealing from a position of strength right now, they can win right now while we're strong. But Jack hears of it and he doesn't believe that, and he tries to stop them. Are you ready? Ready? So let me read you another paragraph from it. And he says, I visited the Hagia Sophia yesterday and saw how the Muslims desecrated the murals of Christ and the Virgin. Disgusting. People should have a look at that. Maybe we wouldn't hear so much propaganda about Islam as a religion of peace. Are you kidding? General Brooks said. The average guy wouldn't believe it. They've been brainwashed into hating the religion of their own fathers. Maybe you should buy it. Not for sale, chuckled Sutcliffe. Not yet anyway, or I would. Well, maybe it will be sooner than you think, General Brooks thought. And it's what he's standing. And then he goes on and says, this has been a war of attrition, a war spanning millenniums, said Sutcliffe. I guess we can wait a little longer. Exactly, General Brooks lied. He glanced at his watch. He'd be touching down in Oakland soon. Unfortunately, I have a few things I have to do before we land. Not a problem, General. Roger that, said the billionaire, doing his fawning best to sound like a 23-year-old first lieutenant. It was sickening. To Sutcliffe, this was all something of a game. It's a good book. It's fun. And it's also as serious as cancer. It's as serious as cancer. Read Countdown to Mecca before it's too late. I'm Michael Savage. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
This executive order is done under emergency power, and it has the force of law. Very unusual. And it's requiring action and changes in behavior from the Oregon border all the way to the Mexican border. It affects lawns. It affects people's how long they stay in the shower. We have a state water board that oversees the relationship with all these local districts. There are hundreds of them. And so if they don't comply, people can be fined $500 a day.
Is he drooling on himself yet? 78 years old, Jerry Brown, is going to monitor how long you take a shower with a smart meter. Drooling on himself about the executive order. Another liberal gone mad. This is like liberals gone mad now. Remember Girls Gone Wild? It's liberals gone wild under Obama. They're all following his lead. Stepping on all of us with executive orders. Here's a nut, Jerry Brown. Instead of saying we're slamming the door shut on the border, we're not letting the millions of illegals come over the border because we can't carry them anymore. We don't have the water. No, putting the National Guard on the border with Mexico, goodbye, and then we're deporting the last million that came in. Then we wouldn't have the same water crisis. Or I'm the governor of California. We have a water crisis. I'm going to send the National Guard out to uproot all the marijuana plants in Northern California, which are decimating the water table. But instead, he's going to tell you that you are the problem. And he's going to send little Nazi stormtroopers around to arrest you if you take a shower that's more than, what, 4 gallons? This is the world we live in with liberals gone wild. They're out of control. I've told you before, a fish rots from the head down. And since Obama is the rotting fish head that has rotted our Constitution, now all the mini-me's like Jerry Brown. Could you imagine they were saying he might be president one day? Could you imagine that? They're saying he could be president? The man sounded like he was ready for a nursing home just now. I don't understand. It's another one with an executive order under emergency power. And he's going to monitor your showers in California and fine you $500 a day. Not stop the hordes of illegals sucking our water dry. Not stop the marijuana growers sucking the water table dry. Instead, he's going to take the average homeowner and fine them $500 for taking too long a shower. How do you like that? Then there's Rand Paul, presidential candidate. I say, yes, I'll vote for him. All right, fine. Why am I not excited? Let's listen to clip 15 of Rand Paul's announcement today. Let's hear it.
I have a vision for America. I want to be part of a return to prosperity. A true economic boom that lifts all Americans.
Oh, God.
A return to a government restrained by the Constitution. A return to privacy, opportunity, liberty. Too often, when Republicans have won,
all right, turn we've squandered. So already we heard nothing. The same rubbish. Ronald Reagan, prosperity, Constitution. I haven't heard borders, language, and culture from him, did you? Did I miss something, Jim? When Rand Paul made his announcement, did he say we're going to take control of our borders, we're going to reassert English as the language of the land, and we're going to reassert the culture? No. Again, it's rubbish. Fifth grade rubbish. So let's listen to more now in 16. I'm supposed to get excited over it. My pulse is supposed to pound over Rand Paul. Let's hear 16 now.
From the time I was a very young boy, I was taught to love and appreciate America.
Great.
Love of liberty pulses in my veins.
All right, so mine
too. Not because we have beautiful mountains or white sand beaches, although we do. And not because of our abundance of resources. It's more visceral than that.
Okay.
Our great nation was founded upon the extraordinary notion that government should be restrained and freedom should be maximized.
That three Chardonnays already. They're losing their breakfast. Government should be restrained. That's a hot button issue. Yeah, you try to rein in this monster, this Frankenstein. How are you going to do it? I mean, you're just giving us these platitudes. Government should be restrained. Freedom should be maximized. What does that mean? What would you actually do, Mr. Paul? Don't know. Would you make sure Californians can take longer showers or shorter showers? Would you let more illegals in or fewer illegals in? Would you make English the language of the land, or would you make it a polyglot Tower of Babel? What would you actually do, Mr. Paul? I know you have a nice blonde wife and nice children, and so does the other one who announced. Who was the other one? I forgot already. His competitor now. The other day. Who? Cruz. They both have like cardboard cutout wives and children. Right? That's good. That's nice. Nice families. But I haven't heard anything about borders, language, and culture yet. I'll vote for him over the Hillary, the Hildeby. No, thank you. We've had that for 8 years. We know how that worked out. Okay, let's go on to the callers. KVOR Radio, line 2. Go ahead. Please state your name and topic.
Hello, Dr. Savage. My name's Nathan. In Colorado Springs, Colorado. My topic is the hundreds of thousands of Muslims in our country now and what you believe is a timeline of their radicalization.
Oh, that's a nice little question. Now, you're calling from Colorado Springs. Are you in the Air Force?
No, I am not.
Because that's a big, as you know, our Air Force Academy is up there, now run by a woman who can't fly a Piper Cub. That's the new Air Force of women who can't fly, run it. But you want to know how long it'll take them to be radicalized? Now, which Muslims do you mean? The ones who are just being brought in by Obama, the 100,000 a month?
Exactly.
I would say a good portion of them are radical before they got here. Where are they coming from? They're coming from Syria. Why is he not bringing in Syrian Christians? Does that not answer your question immediately? In other words, if it's a war-torn country and America still thinks it can afford refugees, which I know we can't afford, why is he not bringing in Syrian Christians who are more endangered than Syrian Muslims? If you can answer that question, which you can't, but you actually can, then you'll understand that there's a high percentage of radicals already amongst them.
Yep.
It leaves you breathless, doesn't it? So you say, well, why is he doing it? He's a nice guy. I mean, he doesn't want to hurt America with radical Muslims, does he? I don't know. Ask him why he's bringing them in then. What sane nation would bring in 100,000 Muslims a month at a time when the entire nation is at war? The world is at war right now. Everybody knows it except these brain trusts in the White House who pretend we're not at war, won't even say the word Islam. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a work of fiction. If you'll stay on the line, we're going to start a new thing. Clint, get the name of this caller. I'm going to send them a free copy of Countdown to Mecca. In fact, starting today, intermittently to callers, I'm going to hold your names in abeyance, and we're going to send them out the minute books are printed, which I think is next week. And we'll get you on the list, and that's as simple as that. KBET Radio, line number one. Go ahead, please, and tell us, Mike. I see your name is Mike. What's your topic?
Yeah, Mike, I wanted to give you some encouragement. You have been lamenting about the fact that American Christians in particular seem to be silent and won't fight back and won't step out and you know, call evil for what it is and things like that. And I just wanted to give you some encouragement, just examples from my own church. We have a men's Bible study group. We periodically take a poll. We have about 12 to 15, you know, age 30 to 50 guys, family guys, business guys, you know, just guys from the local community, just Christians who are believers. And we take a poll and we say, if the president said, if you had 6 months to get your affairs together, but we're going to mobilize, we're going to eradicate ISIS, or we're going to eradicate Boko Haram, or we're going to take out Iran's nuclear threat, how many guys would volunteer to go? And every time we take that poll, every hand in the room goes up. And we've
Wait, who is this president? Who is this imaginary president who would say that?
Well, that's the next step. But what I'm trying to say to you is that there is a groundswell, I think, within the Christian community, and people who by their own admission, mistakenly voted for Barack Obama, who now, I think, the blinders have come off, and now they understand. I think you saw a little bit of it in the past election, but the mouthpieces that you see on TV, the mouthpieces that you see from the Republican and Democratic Party, who seem to be the spokespeople, they are not speaking for the majority of the people. So just as the God of the Bible, he is slow to anger, and sometimes the wheels turn very slowly, there is a groundswell within this country, and I just wanted to give you some encouragement that it may not happen in the next election cycle, but blinders are coming off, and there are people in the Christian community who are willing to step up and who will fight and who will take up arms if they have to, and that is absolutely biblical and absolutely in line with the God of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Jewish or Christian. And if more Christians would read their Bible, and if more Christians were biblically literate, they would understand that evil cannot be managed, evil cannot be negotiated with.
Then why don't they stand up to Obama now instead of waiting for some future president? Obama is the evil. I'm sorry, I'll go on record and say it again. I believe he is pure evil. I believe he represents the demise of America. I believe he hates Christianity. I believe he hates Jews and he hates Israel. What more do we need to see? What, because he does it with a nice smile instead of with a goose step and a swastika? I mean, the guy is purely against the interests of this nation on every level.
Is that within these smaller communities, within this groundswell, within the men's Bible study groups and the neighborhoods and things like that, people are saying exactly what you are saying.
I know they are. I know there are probably 30 million Americans who know who he is and know he's pure evil and know that unless his policies are curtailed immediately, there is no America tomorrow. I know that. But why don't we hear more of it?
And because it's going to take time to go from the bottom to the top. And the people at the top have been in the top. They have been in the system. And those aren't the guys who are the answer. A political leader is not the answer. You know, whether it's...
Well, okay, when the leaders won't lead the people must lead the leaders. It's an old 70s bumper sticker.
Absolutely, Michael.
But we don't have the time. We don't have the luxury of time. This demonic individual in the White House has ratcheted up his mania. His mania has ratcheted itself up to an extent nobody could have ever predicted. After he lost that election, he got psychotic. Instead of saying, I'll meet the opposition in the middle, because I know the people have repudiated my liberal policies. What did he do? He tripled down on his radicalism, didn't he?
Absolutely, Mike. He stuck the middle finger up at the American people. And I believe there are more and more people, even people who are you know, lifelong Democrats, who now see that. And the blinders have come off. And
well, did you hear my opening story about the constitutional law professor, the top of the heap, Lawrence Tribe, turning on Obama's EPA? Did you hear that opening story today?
I caught the last piece, but Mike, there are a lot of...
It's unbelievable. Even liberal scholars are turning on this guy, saying he's overreaching and he's stepping on the Constitution. Stay on the line. I'm going to put you on the list for Countdown to Mecca, but many of you don't tune in at the beginning. I understand you have other things to do. It was my opening story. It's probably the most important sign that even liberals who are principled are trying to stop this man's power grab. And I have to play the soundbite of Lawrence H. Treib, the esteemed liberal scholar of constitutional law at Harvard, who taught Obama when at Harvard, and he is now representing a nation's largest coal company in its legal quest to block an EPA regulation that would destroy coal-fired power plants. You've got to hear the soundbite. Jim, fire it.
EPA is attempting an unconstitutional trifecta, usurping the prerogatives of the states, Congress, and the federal courts all at once. Much is up for grabs in this complex area, but burning the Constitution of the United States, about which I care deeply, cannot be part of our national energy policy to deal with the problems of climate change.
Did you hear what he just said? Burning the Constitution cannot be part of our national energy policy. Burning the Constitution. And this is a lesson for all of you to learn. A bird needs two wings to fly. Right now we have two left wings and we're going in a circle. We're going to circle heading right to the ground. But if we don't join forces with principled liberals such as Lawrence Treib, who understands the Constitution better than any of us do, we're never going to save this nation. And that's why I'm telling you what we... I don't think anyone else in radio played that. I don't think the greatest one in history this morning played it. I don't think he had it. He was busy talking about how great he was and how intelligent and how intellectual and what a great graduate school it is to listen to him. But this is probably the most important soundbite you could ever imagine. You know, a lot of you heard you are going to hear the Obama speech, which is great. But very few of you found the Lawrence Treib speech from a month ago where he said burning the Constitution should not become part of our national energy policy. It is now 48 minutes after the hour. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Look, the biggest part of today's show is about Lawrence Treib, who is working against Obama in a climate case, representing America's largest coal company. He's being called a traitor by the vermin on the left who do not like anyone breaking ranks with them. But in the soundbite I played, he said that he does not want the Constitution to be burned in order to move environmental legislation forward. He's got an extremely interesting background. He was born in 1941. By the way, he's a professor of constitutional law at Harvard. He knows more about the Constitution than anyone you've ever met. But he taught Obama. He taught, did you know who else he taught? He not only taught Obama, but he also taught Chief Justice John Roberts as a law student in his classes. He also taught Elena Kagan as a research assistant. So he's as liberal as they come, but he respects the Constitution to an extent that he's willing to take this case of the coal company. Incidentally, he was born in Shanghai, China. Shanghai, China. His father was from Poland and his mother was born in Harbin, China, to a family of immigrants from Eastern Europe. And strangely enough, he went to Abraham Lincoln High School in San Francisco. He holds an AB in mathematics, summa cum laude from Harvard, and a JD magna cum laude from Harvard, where he was a member of the Harvard Legal Aid Bureau. He's a brilliant man. His politics may differ from yours. But the man is defending the Constitution against the monster in the White House who he taught at Harvard. Do you understand what a revolution this is? Also, I suggest you check out a copy of Countdown to Mecca. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I guarantee you, you won't be bored.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders language, culture, and here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Savage Nation. So today Rand Paul announced his presidency. Said nothing. But there were the cheers, the balloons went up. And of course I'll vote for him over Hillary Clinton or any psychotic progressive. But I didn't hear anything I wanted to hear. Did he say how he would stop ISIS? Did he say he would stop bringing in 100,000 Muslims a month? Did he say he would restore the vigor of the U.S. military? Did he say he'd close our borders with Mexico? Did he say he would deport millions of illegal aliens who just swarmed over the border in the last few years because we can't afford them, not because they're bad people? Did he say that he would make English the official language of the United States of America because we cannot have a Tower of Babel? Did he say that America was built upon Judeo-Christian values and that's the way it is, and he's going to prohibit the building of further mosques in America because this America is a Judeo-Christian nation and it will remain so? I didn't hear any of that. Did you? So if you care to comment on any of the events of the day, including all of the other issues I brought up, and they were pretty heavy ones today, by the way, I can't repeat them all. Obama admitting that his Iran deal gives them a clear path for nuclear weapons, but he doesn't care. It's someone else's problem. Obama's former law professor at Harvard, Lawrence Tribe, working against Obama in an EPA climate case, representing America's largest coal company. Huge story. The Night of the Long Knives, the story of Adolf Hitler. Very important story. Reading from my novel, Countdown to Mecca. I mean, it's a good show. Good show. So let me take some calls. Line number four, Mickey. I see your name is Mickey. Go ahead, please. Where are you calling from?
From Hollywood, Florida. WFTL 850.
And what's your main point?
Well, you were speculating about Lawrence Tribe. He's been on a short list for Supreme Court nominee for during every recent Democratic administration.
So you heard me say that he did it for revenge. You heard me say that, right?
Oh, I must have missed.
Oh, yeah. In other words, Tribe says he's not for sale and he wouldn't have taken the case but for protecting the Constitution. But I said I think it was revenge because Obama passed them over. So you agree with that?
Yeah. Yes. Obama is only interested in putting a Latino ladies, whatever, and then Dr.
Yes, he picked Elena Kagan and Sotomayor. And the reason he picked them is because they're more malleable than Lawrence Tribe. Number one, Lawrence Tribe is too much of a principled liberal to be manipulated by this character in the White House. Number two, he was too old. Remember that. He chose younger women who'll be on there forever. And number three, they're not up to his intellectual level. They can easily be manipulated. And so Tribe was very angry, and he decided to take this case, I think, out of revenge against Obama. That's how I would read it myself.
The only way Tribe to get on there now.
You kill that, please. Let's stop with that kind of, you know, it diminishes the whole show. I hope. Did you get that in time, Jim? Good, because people say things and they're good up to a point. KSFO Radio, my hometown of San Francisco. Caroline 8, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Michael, I just wanted to reassure you that there's at least one American out here listening, hanging on to every one of your words. And what you said about the Night of the Long Knives, it just chilled me to the bone about Hitler's Nazi Germany, Hitler rising up in the 1930s to exterminate the Jews. And wasn't the Muslim Brotherhood very much involved with that?
This is a little different. I didn't talk about, yes, he was a collaborator with the Muslims. Hitler was an admirer of Islam. And the Muslims fought aside him in many, many divisions and brigades, especially in the Balkans.
Yeah.
There was an entire Nazi brigade in the Balkans that killed all the enemies of the Hitler regime.
Point I wanted to make is the correlation now with Obama and so many things that he's doing, with Israel, with Iran, and calling.
I didn't make that point, nor did I bring up when Hitler killed the members of the SA in that purge. He then went on the radio and gave a long speech to the Nazi-controlled Reichstag, his parliament, in which he said he had killed them, and then he justified the murders in this way. He said, if anyone reproaches me and asks why I did not resort to the regular courts of justice, then all I can say is this. In this hour, I was responsible for the fate of the German people, and thereby I became the supreme judge of the German people. And so he proclaimed himself the supreme judge of the German people, placing himself above the law, making his word the law. Making his word the law. Now, who does that remind you of? How many different ways has Obama said he is the law? Didn't he jokingly say that with a pen and this, I can do what I want? Is that not the mark of a dictatorship? Didn't he say that he has the sole power to grant amnesty to these illegals, whether you like it or not? Is that not a dictatorship? Everywhere you turn, he's doing a deal with Iran, saying Congress has no right butting in. Is that not the mark of a dictatorship? What do you think I'm telling you? What do you think I'm telling you? Jim on WFTL Radio, Line 5, fire away, you're on the Savage Nation.
I have a question for you. I love you. I've listened to you for years. I've read your books. I've written a congressman. I listened to the Republican Party. Do you have any solution for us to stop this at all?
You mean you think that there's any hope is what you're asking me, or is it hopeless?
I guess it seems to me pretty hopeless.
No, there's always hope. There is always hope. Hope continues to inspire me every day. I didn't hear it in Rand Paul today, did you?
No, that's what I'm saying.
When I saw another bland politician get up there and read the same sound bites about limited government, I said, holy God, is he kidding? Who's writing his speeches for him? Where was the inspiration for this speech? Nothing so far. It's been a 0-0. Cruz and he shot 2 zeros.
How can Israel have such a dominant, inspiring leadership, and Ronald Reagan that I grew up with is gone?
You mean where are the leaders today of the Republican, on the Republican conservative side?
There isn't any.
Well, you're listening to one of them right now.
You are, but
we're not in politics. That's the issue. The leaders are not in politics. We're too honest and too intelligent to go into politics, and that's why the nation is dying. And men like me should have been in politics, but I never wanted to go into it because I can't take the lying and the fundraising. I don't want to have to put on a suit every day and you know, kiss babies, so to speak.
I agree with you 100%.
All right, I don't have an answer. There must be some. There are a few out there, by the way. I'm going to give you an example. There is a young man who was a sleeper who came along out of nowhere named Mr. Cotton. He's an Afghan war vet. Have you seen him? Tall guy, dark hair. Have you seen this man?
I believe I have.
Well, the media is burying him. The Republicans have put him at the back of the bus. The Republicans have dropped a cloak over him. The Republicans have put a burqa around him. They don't want you to see him. But that is the man who can save this country. In fact, I would back Cotton for president. I would do anything to see that guy get in there and run. He has seen the face of radical Islam. He's fought with them. He's had bullets flying at him from them. He knows who they are. Now, he wouldn't take any of this rubbish from people. So we have some very good people, and he is one of them. I wouldn't give up so fast. Anything could happen. If we can get an unknown anti-American like Obama coming out of nowhere and be made into the president, then it's possible, just possible, that there's a chance that we could get a man like Mr. Cotton to run for the presidency at the very last minute and maybe win because of his love for the country and his devotion to it. So I wouldn't give up so fast. Isn't the phrase hope springs eternal? That was the phrase I was trying to remember.
Oh, that phrase.
Haven't you had issues in your life where you thought it was hopeless and it would never turn around, and somehow they did? Haven't you ever had that happen?
Yes, sir.
Well, why can't we assume it can't happen on the national level? Don't give up so fast. The world's not over yet. God has some tricks for America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
I have a vision for America. I want to be part of a return to prosperity. A true economic boom that lifts all Americans. A return to a government restrained by the Constitution.
That's enough already. That's enough. Finished. Finished. Put an X through that one. Again, prosperity. A chicken in every pot. I think it goes back to the last century, a few centuries back. If I'm elected, there'll be a chicken in every pot. Yeah, Huey Long, a chicken in every pot. And then under Obama, it's become pot in every chicken. That's one of my better lines. Obama promised that if he were elected, there'd be pot in every chicken. And boy, is that true. I'm not a big Rand Paul fan. He says the right thing, but he's sure not inspiring as a leader. I'm sorry. Somebody wrote a speech for him that's going to go nowhere. Went over like a lead balloon, as they say. Diane in WABC, go ahead. You're up in the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage. This morning, I heard on the radio, and it was like a news thing, that Rand Paul was the only Republican that was for the Obama-Iranian nuclear plan.
I think he was. I think he did. He did support it. Yes, he did.
I know. I mean, what? So how could?
I know. So what are they getting excited for? What's this man about?
I know.
I don't want to spend the show ripping the second Republican candidate to come along. But again, what's the big deal here?
But this is so important.
I mean, what a field we're going to have. Let's see. There's Ted Cruz. Put an X through him. There's Rand Paul. Put an X through him. Who's left? Who's left? Jeb Bush, Mr. Amnesty, Chris Christie, Bridgegate. There's nobody out there, for God's sakes. I want to draft Senator Cotton for the presidency. That's what I'd like to do. He represents everything I believe in. Would you vote for a man like that, a war veteran who's a conservative, who knows what the real threats are facing America? I would. I'd work for him. I'd raise money for him. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to have him on the show. I don't know how to even reach, I'm not a big guest-driven guy. But nevertheless, he's a guy. Thank you for the call. Line number seven. Line number seven. Go ahead, please. Name, topic, station. Line number seven, are you there or not there?
Hello.
Okay, name, station, topic. All right, goodbye. Have a nice day. WJR in Detroit, Michigan. I see that there's a caller named Jim on line three. Jim, go ahead, please.
Yeah, this is about some clarifying of the language. Obama's not sure if he's fighting Muslims, if he's fighting Islam, or if he's actually fighting to win or to kill. In World War II, when they put Admiral Halsey in charge of a battle in the South Pacific, they said, what's your clarity back then?
Well, it was a different time. Can you imagine if we had a president who even defined the enemy? He hasn't even done that. He won't even define it as a war. So how can you expect the man to fight a war he won't even define?
Verse in the Bible where it says...
Well, wait, let's forget the Bible. Rand Paul announced today. Did he announce that he's going to take on radical Islam? Did he say he's going to stop the flood of America with Muslims? Did he say anything about ISIS? I didn't hear it. No. So don't look for Admiral Halsey in Rand Paul. I'm sorry. Again, it was just what we would call, we used to call stuff like this, pablum. Pablum, that's all it was known as. Pablum. Let's hear clip 16 of more pablum from Rand Paul.
From the time I was a very young boy, I was taught to love and appreciate America.
Oh,
love of liberty pulses in my veins.
That's it. Finished.
Not because we have beautiful mountains.
That's all. Who writes this stuff? I don't understand it. Are these the same people who write for him and advise him as to have told him don't come on the Savage Nation? I don't even know if my guys try to get him on. I was never enamored of him that much. Okay, and a lot of guys are like Ron Paul and Rand Paul. They have good ideas. I get it. They're good Americans. But who writes this childish rhetoric? There's no there. There's nothing there. I don't want just another politician. I want a muscular candidate who can save us from the war that we are fighting. This war will kill us all. It will engulf us all. The tsunami of radical Islam is over us. It's a 1,000-foot wave about to sweep us into the sea. The demographics alone will destroy us unless this wave of immigrants, 100,000 Muslims a month, is stopped. The demographics say that by the year 2050, if this is kept up, Muslims will outnumber Christians in America by 2050. You say, well, I'll be gone by then. Can you show me one nation on earth where, when Muslims have achieved the majority, they have decided to reach out across the aisle to Christians and embrace them? Show me one nation where that's going on. No, I'd rather refer to what the president of Turkey said, Erdogan, who I quoted the other day, when he said democracy, He said democracy is the train we will ride to victory. And then he had said before that demographics are the key to our advancement, meaning high birth rates. And democracy is the train we will ride to victory. And so by using democracy, the Trojan horse of democracy, the Muslim leadership around the world has a juicy target, the United States of America and all of Western Europe. Do you want a world that is dominated by Muslims? Do you want your grandchildren to grow up in a world where women cannot drive? You think this is a laughing matter? Do you know how women are treated in the Iran that Obama loves so much? Is that the world you want your grandchildren in? I don't think so. And I'll lead it right back, take it back home. It's why I wrote the best-selling novel, I hope, called Countdown to Mecca. It'll be out in about a month. But it's all about that. And it's all about a group of generals who have a secret plot to stop it. Unfortunately, Jack doesn't agree with it. It's a gripping page-turner, and you'll go on a journey that you're not going to believe in Countdown to Mecca. I'll be right
back. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage.
And at that at the end of that period, maybe they've changed, maybe they haven't. If they haven't changed, we still have the options available to me, or available to a future president that I have available to me right now.
It's one of the most astonishing turnarounds ever seen. If you watch the interview on Fox News, what you see is a man who looks like a scared child who got caught lying and almost admits in a secret meeting with a friend that, yeah, they're going to get nukes, but it's going to be someone else's problem. In an astonishing admission, Obama goes on NPR and he admits his deal will allow Iran to develop nuclear weapons. But he said, I really don't care, because a future president will have to take action. Let's hear clip number two on the Savage Nation.
In years 13, 14, it is possible that those breakout times would have been much shorter. But at that point, we have much better ideas about what it is that their program involves. We have much more insight into their capabilities. And the option of a future president to take action if, in fact, they try to obtain a nuclear weapon is undiminished.
Have you ever heard anything like this in your entire life? That a so-called president would say, well, you know what, they're going to develop the weapon, but some future president will have to deal with it. Have you ever heard of anyone as incompetent as this in your life in the president's office? Do you know that this one statement alone would have led to impeachment if we lived in a rational government? If we lived in a rational society with a legitimate government, do you have any idea what a rational media would do with this statement? You know, I range every day when I think about this man's madness. Sometimes I think he's actually a power mad dictator. And when I listen to this speech that he gave today to an NPR, I think he's just another pie in the sky, daffy, academic lunatic who doesn't know the real world. You say, oh, come on, how can he say that? He knows the real world well enough to have become president. That's true. So then I go back to the fact of point number one, which I really don't want to believe. The man sounds like a typical academic nut. He's talking about Iran as though it exists in a vacuum, as though it has no background, that we know nothing about the mullahs. We don't know that they're bloodthirsty murderers who've killed our own troops. Obama's astonishing stumble today, an admission that he's giving Iran the green light to develop a nuclear weapon, but it's not his problem. It'll be someone else's problem. Here's our problem. We have a very glib liar in the White House with a great voice. We're better off with a bumbler who stumbled on his words because we could mock the president then. And it's good to mock a president. They need to be mocked to control their insanity. Any man who wants to be president is by definition insane. Any man who becomes president is even more clearly insane. So anyone who arrives at this office is an egomaniac to begin with, possibly psychotic, and very dangerous, which is why we have a separation of powers and all sorts of advice and consent and this and that. But with Obama, because he is so glib and has such a great voice, even though he's lying and making statements that are outrageously impossible to believe he would make, such as he just did, most people let it go right over their head. But it didn't go over the head of Lawrence Tribe, who was his professor at Harvard, who, I must tell you again, is one of the most admired liberal scholars of constitutional law in America. Liberal is the key word. Very liberal is even more accurate, but very highly regarded, spoke, taught Obama. Now, who is Lawrence Tribe? He is probably the most highly respected liberal scholar of constitutional law. Obama was once his student at Harvard. He has taken a job representing the nation's largest coal company, Peabody Energy, to fight the EPA. Mr. Tribe, Obama's former law professor at Harvard, the top liberal scholar of constitutional law in America, who still speaks of Obama as a proud teacher would of a star student, are you listening to me? Took a position representing the nation's largest coal company against Obama's climate control madness. The reason he did this, the face reason he did it, is very interesting. He said that they violated the Constitution, that Obama went overboard with his EPA. And he said it has nothing to do with anything except the Constitution. It has nothing to do with climate change. He said the EPA went over its abilities, went beyond the Constitution, and he took this job to make certain that the Constitution is protected. Now he takes his position representing the biggest coal company in America in his legal quest to block the EPA, which is trying to knock out coal in America, in plain English. And Tribe says he did this because, I'm going to read it now, at a House hearing last month, Mr. Tribe likened the climate change policies of Mr. Obama to, quote, burning the Constitution. I swear to God. And, you know, I respect a real liberal. A real liberal like Tribe is to be respected because he's representing the Constitution that we all know will save us from a madman like Obama. I think we have that soundbite, clip number 6. You've got to listen to this one.
EPA is attempting an unconstitutional trifecta, usurping the prerogatives of the states, Congress, and the federal courts all at once. Much is up for grabs in this complex area. But burning the Constitution of the United States, about which I care deeply, cannot be part of our national energy policy to deal with the problems of climate change.
See, a principled liberal not only is to be respected because you can reason with them if they're wed to the Constitution as he is, but Obama is not a principled anything. He's a Machiavellian, egomaniac, power-grabbing nut. And his own professor knows it. So he doesn't want Obama to burn the Constitution by usurping the Constitution. And the fact of the matter is that Lawrence Tribe is concerned about a dictatorship emerging in the United States of America. And so he decided to represent the coal company against the EPA. Big story. But here's the backstory that nobody but Michael Savage would dare say. They asked him why he would do a thing like this. The liberal establishment has gone crazy. He is an iconic left-leaning law professor who is being attacked left and right. They're calling him a traitor, ripping him to shreds. All of these zealots in the EPA and idiots who are 50 times stupider than you can imagine. Here's one, for example, a zealot, Jody Freeman, director of the so-called environmental law program at Harvard Law, says, quote, "The administration's climate rule is far from perfect, but sweeping assertions of unconstitutionality are baseless. She is a Lilliputian compared to Tribe in terms of the Constitution. They're tearing him to shreds." And others who are not even able to shine his shoes are saying, quote, "Tribe's legal claims are ridiculous." And listen to what he said. He dismissed the criticism and said that his brief and comments reflect his views as a constitutional scholar, not as a paid advocate for the coal company. He said, "I'm not for sale. I'll say what I believe. I feel very comfortable with my relationship with Peabody Coal." He said, "Somebody wanted my help and it happened to coincide with what I believe." But a number of miniature legal scholars and current and former members of the Obama administration say that Tribe has eroded his credibility by using his platform as a scholar to promote a corporate agenda, specifically the mining and burning of coal, which is what he's not doing. What he's doing is trying to stop a power grab by this madman in the White House. Wherever you turn, Obama has overextended his reach. And that's an important thing for you to understand. The power grab, the power grab, the power grab. And now on that note, what I want to do is talk about a dictatorship of the past, which has almost nothing to do with the dictatorship of the present. There's a long story about the Night of the Long Knives, when the 4 million brown-shirted Nazi stormtroopers, the SA, were threatening Adolf Hitler. They had been with him from the beginning. They were the street thugs. They were the equivalent of the street gangs that Al Sharpton was riling up in Ferguson and elsewhere. Not exactly as well organized, nor as armed, nor uniformed, but just the way Al Sharpton and Obama and Holder stirred up the street thugs in Ferguson to attack the police and burn businesses down, Hitler had the 4 million brown shirts behind him to intimidate the population. Not exactly the same, but there's a similar element to it. And the leader of the SA was a man named Ernst Röhm, a battle-scarred, aggressive, highly ambitious street brawler who happened to be a homosexual, as were most of the leaders of the SA. And prior to the purge, where most of them were killed by Hitler, the SS, they ignored this behavior because they were useful to him. And once their usefulness came to an end, their homosexual conduct would be partly used as an excuse for the murders. So why did Hitler take this upon himself? Well, he was threatened by them, so he thought. But I want you to listen to what Hitler said after he killed all of these former colleagues of his. On July 13th of that year, after killing 250 to 1,000 men who had been his allies, he gave a long speech before the Nazi-controlled Reichstag in which he announced the murders, and he justified the murders. And listen to what he said. It's chilling. "If anyone reproaches me and asks why I did not resort to the regular courts of justice, then all I can say is this. In this hour, I was responsible for the fate of the German people, and thereby I became the supreme judge of the German people." Did you hear what I just said? He declared himself the supreme judge of the German people, in effect placing himself above the law, in effect making his word the law, and in so doing, instilling a permanent sense of fear in all of the German people. So what does that have to do with a mad president in the United States in the year 2015? There's no direct answer to the question other than to tell you that history repeats itself in small ways sometimes, not only in big ways. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Narrative that I just expressed, admitted his Iran deal gives Iran the ability and a clear path for nuclear weapons, but it's not his problem. He kicked it down the road to a president downstream. I talked about Lawrence Tribe, a liberal scholar, Harvard lawyer, who's taken a position against Obama's EPA by taking on a client, which is the largest coal company in America. We played Obama attacking Christians at a so-called prayer breakfast this morning. You know it wasn't a prayer breakfast when Al Sharpton was there. It can't be by definition a prayer breakfast if Al Sharpton is there. It's something else. And then I talked about Hitler's Night of the Long Knives, where all the SA was killed. I read selections from my new novel, Countdown to Mecca, tied to the Iran deal. Maybe the topics that I introduced were too heady. Maybe they were too intellectual. Maybe the story about Lawrence Tribe went over your head. Maybe you didn't like the fact that I said he was a principled liberal. Maybe your mind is so warped by what you hear on radio that you think all conservative, all people who say they're conservatives are good and all people who say they're liberals are bad. But that's not the way the world works. A bird needs two wings to fly. Right now we have two left wings flying the nation. And I want to go now to my website, my little website that can, michaelsavage.com, home of Borders, Language, and Culture, and show you some of the stories I picked to put up there. Top right, Michael Savage newsletter. Why is Obama bringing 100,000 Muslims a month into America? Many of them hold up banners that say, no democracy, we just want Islam. Why is he bringing them in? Next story, linked up from Gateway Pundit. Obama White House smeared Bergdahl's platoon mates when it knew they were telling the truth. Because they're vicious punk liars. They're vicious drug addicts, in my opinion, who have never held a real job in their life. They were put there by their parents' contributions to this corrupt administration. And many of these children who work for Obama are liars through and through. They lied from the cradle until now. Fourth Muslim charged in New York City over ISIS recruitment plot. Another Muslim, another plot to blow up America. Surprised it wasn't a Catholic nun. You would have thought by the media that it would have been Christians who would be constantly recruiting to overthrow America, but it's kind of shocking to see it's always Muslims. And then one of the worst people in the history of America, a man who should be in prison for what he's done, in my opinion, Al Sharpton, again was at the White House at a so-called prayer breakfast, looking skinnier than ever. Let's hope that the good reverend recovers from whatever it is he may be suffering from, or the diet he is on is called back in time. But the fact of the matter is, no one knows where he ever got his divinity degree from. I've challenged people on this show to produce it. I think he got it in a Cracker Jack box in Brooklyn. And how they refer to a man like him as reverend is beyond me. What makes this rabble-rouser a reverend I'll never understand? Liberal environmentalists blame for California water crisis. You can also blame the pot epidemic for the water crisis. The pot growers are sucking every drop of water out of the aquifer. Guess who backs the nuclear deal with Iran? The Iran Revolutionary Guard chief backs Obama's nuclear deal. Could you hear this? He commended negotiators for beating America. Demand for more mosques in France provokes anger, but not here. Not in the good old stupid US of A. You see, Muslim leaders in France want to double the number of mosques to increase their flock so that there's no longer a France. It's just an extension of the caliphate coming out of Saudi Arabia. And the French have said enough is enough. You're not building any more mosques. Anyway, you get the picture. Let's see. Here's another one to enlighten your day. Feds give disability benefits to Puerto Ricans because they speak Spanish. I'm not inventing this. Read it in michaelsavage.com, link to Washington Free Beacon. The federal government is giving out disability benefits to Puerto Ricans because they speak Spanish and can't speak English. They're considered disabled. I swear to God. So maybe this is what Obama has in mind for the unwashed masses he's bringing in from south of the border. He can declare them all disabled and put them on disability and make sure that your grandfather who served, let's say, in Vietnam or Korea, if he's still living, gets as little as possible while the non-citizens get everything possible. Who knows? When you have a man who has a demonic desire to remake America, not in an image that would make it stronger but much weaker, anything is possible, especially when the snowball has grown to this size.